Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of the Mulletcast, the podcast where business and pleasure collide. My name is Evan Baumer. Follow me on Instagram at Evan Baumer. Follow the Mulletcast on Facebook. Today, we are joined by Marissa Goldman with Innovation Title. Marissa is a licensed title officer in the state of New Jersey. What's going on, Marissa?
Hey, Evan. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Thanks for coming aboard. We actually just had a guest from the band The Nerds, and so not every title person can pull this off, but you're actually sort of a like a guest producer of the Mulletcast because you put me in touch with Jim, the singer of The Nerds, and helped basically. I made one call and he's like, oh yeah, we're coming on, you know, so thanks for that.
Oh, my pleasure. I'm so glad we could hook it up.
If I didn't know your story, I've rarely encountered title officers that have these types of skills, but your background is you went to Towson.
Yeah.
During that time, you had an internship at MTV.
Worked with MTV a little bit, concerts and events, and it was awesome. Great experience.
So what did you do? Any memories from MTV at that time?
We did a lot with the Campus Invasion Tour, and it was a lot of fun. Got to meet Black Eyed Peas.
Nice.
Met Will I Am. Spoke to him from backstage, kind of mind blown by his quick interpretation of who I was, and it was great. It was a good experience.
What was it? He's like, you're from Long Island, aren't you?
Well, I was very hard to hide my accent, so I had to dial it down.
Right.
Yeah, but he was awesome.
That's cool. Fergie, any happy memories of her?
Yeah, my two friends had to do all their tour bus laundry.
Oh, no way.
During the show. And but they were really, really easy to work with, other than, you know, the laundry and the endless list for the green room. But
right.
They were great.
Tour laundry is always a difficult problem to solve.
Oh, it was a monster. Yeah. It was a monster. We needed to get, you know, those big carts from the dorms just to take it all out of there.
Right. So I worked in artist management for a time, which basically means you have to oversee tour laundry is what that encounters to.
Really?
So it's a friggin' nightmare. The worst part of it is when you're going from town to town, like in Europe, getting like stage wardrobe cleaned. You're like, all right, we are leaving. We're on a bus. And now I haven't been in a hotel for like 3 days. I've got this stuff and we need it for tonight. You know, it's like, it's a constant hassle.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. It's a lot of running back and forth.
That's
and
right.
Making sure it's on time.
That's right.
Crazy.
I heard those Kiss costumes are a little gamey during the tour, you know.
Oh,
what I mean?
I'm sure.
Yeah.
Ooh.
So that happens.
So much
all right. So you were interning at MTV and then of course you went straight into title, right?
Oh, yeah. No, full stop.
Sweet.
Right here.
Sweet. Yeah. My former boss from MTV ran a title company.
That would have been fun.
Yeah, right. So you got into entertainment.
Yeah, I got a job right after graduation with a really prestigious commercial production company, Hungry Man Productions,
cool.
Not Frozen Foods.
Right.
Cannes Lion
right.
Award-winning production company. And it was awesome. Like one of the partner directors, Brian Buckley, super fun fact, he actually directed the most Super Bowl commercials of all time.
That's insane.
Yeah.
So do
so
you
cool.
know, do you remember any commercials he did specifically?
Oh, yeah. So many. I loved it. Like the Burger King Whopperettes, that was like way back when, but he's you know, he and Hank Perlman, his partner, they started Wine Kennedy. They did a lot with Sports Center and Budweiser and huge brands and really memorable stuff.
Right.
And I worked really closely with them and the executive producer I was super close to was Kevin Byrne. Mm-hmm. And he just gave me like a great foundation for learning about film and commercials and production and production research and just how to stay like really cool and agile when things are crashing down or like the starfish for the actor isn't like quite sticky enough for his cheek or, you know, the capuchin monkey that they wanted doesn't have the right spots on them or if the picture car isn't exactly the right one and just to keep going and have like a litany of like backup plans upon backup plans.
Right. So it's funny. It's like when someone's storyboarding the commercial is like, okay, we're just stick the starfish to the actor's face. Like, That sounds easier. Like, all right, cool, no problem. And then you never really get to the fact that like starfish are notoriously difficult to deal with in Hollywood. So obviously then you basically, all of that work is like thinking on your feet, right? And solving problems pretty much.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. And I loved it. You know, you go into those conference calls and those creative calls and you're highlighting things and steam's coming off your paper and you're like, I'm the person that has to look that up. Oh no, but yeah, right. I'm gonna nod. Yeah, awesome. No, that's great. Get back to your desk, cry real fast, and then just look it up. Right. And you become an expert in bizarre things that you never thought you would have to know about. But, you know, by 3 p.m., you better know all of it.
Right.
But it's awesome. And it was great. And I think that foundation just made all my other moves in like advertising and marketing, you know, much more feasible.
Right.
Because I was able to just be able to pivot real fast.
Right. Yeah, it's true. I mean, it's when you're in those tight deadline situations, right? A lot of money on the line. It's like there's no, basically, right?
No.
Can't, impossible.
Those can't are say all that to a window. Director.
Right. So you have to, you're basically like, it's the most intense creative problem solving exercise in the world, probably.
Yeah. And right? I had really great people to emulate and the production staff and just how to outmaneuver the competition. So we would get awarded the job as opposed to another production company. Mm. You just had to dig in real deep, know your resources, be able to call the right art directors or production designers or special effects folks, and really know who your resource was going to be and just try and get a read from everyone really quick and put it all together and put your heads together. And it was such a team sport, and we would just divide and conquer and run, and just the energy was fantastic.
Right.
And then when you see all the work come together, it's like a high like no other. And especially when the spots were Super Bowl spots, all the spots were great no matter where they ran.
Right.
You just, I had such a high level of respect for like all of the directors and all of the hard work and crazy hours and all the staff. And even if it was just kind of, you know, a spec spot to when, you know, some of Brian's stuff was like recognized at a much higher level, Academy Award level and Cannes level and just different film festivals. But everything was really meaningful.
Right.
And it was fantastic. And it was, yeah, every day you just, you really never knew what you were going to have your hands on.
Right. Totally. So you worked on some Super Bowl ads then at that time also?
As a staff producer. Yeah. And I grew up and just we would all work on it really hard. And it was just a lot of coordination from in-house and sending people into the field and just being a resource for them and being a touch point and being kind of like an oh-no button for a lot of people. Or if something was going down, they knew. This is the few of us that you had to kind of hit up like, well, this is terrible.
Right.
You should fix this right now.
Right.
You should get on that.
So do you remember like what time of year people start working on Super Bowl ads?
Like 6 months in advance.
So you were like in the summer or spring, summer already?
Depending on what it was or if they had to travel, if they had to go to Brazil. We did a lot of shooting in Brazil. We had an office there. If they had to go to Prague or wherever else they had to go and plan things out. But when we got sometimes you get the scripts in closer to that three months out, but you would always back into the schedule and just see if you could do it. And I don't think they would really turn away good creative. They would just try and make it happen.
Right.
And, just Brian and Mino and Kevin and all of their crew members and Hank and his crew, it was just incredible how fast they could run and do things, you know, sometimes multiple projects at a time. And that's why they had such deep levels of support and they knew they could lean on us for different things. And it was amazing to be a part of something that big. And it was just a fabulous experience.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
Great. I mean, that's a lot of pressure with the amount of money involved, obviously, for Super Bowl ads. And it's sort of like, you know, cornerstone of advertising and marketing campaigns for like the year. It's like we're launching this thing. So it's like if you get it wrong or mess it up, it's like a lot of.
Right. And they all took it so seriously because they knew that there had so many people to please. The production company was always like the make it happen. And like there's the advertising agency and the client. Mm-hmm. And there was just so many people to please. And so we just really we had an appreciation for how serious we took everything and cost controlling and making sure everything was meeting all of the standards everyone's putting out.
That's cool. So eventually you got out of that line of work.
When I had my daughter, it was easier to send. I was living in Hoboken when I was doing all of this, so it was super simple to run into the city.
Right.
A path train right away. And just if you have to get there earlier, you walk faster. So it was right. so easy. Then I moved to Central Jersey with my husband. Right. We had our daughter, and I wanted to centralize my life to just kind of Monmouth County. Mm-hmm. And I did some creative staffing and staffed up different creative and IT roles for different local marketing companies and advertising agencies. Right. And then I kind of bounced between working for an advertising agency and going back and forth between staffing for a few years.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I had to kind of figure out, do I want to be in staffing? Do I want to be in the agency
world? Right.
And it was hard. And then when my daughter was about in kindergarten, mm-hmm. my uncle, who's a realtor here from Mac Morris, Century 21, Gary Klein, who's been doing real estate for a really long time, really dialed into this area,
right.
and he lives here, and he said, why don't you do in-house marketing, but for a real estate agency, your hours can be in more control, and you could still be have your hands in marketing work, mm-hmm. just have to get licensed. So I'm like, well, that's a pretty good idea. So right. kind of fit my lifestyle as a mom a little bit better.
Right.
And I got licensed and I started at a Remax. Mm-hmm. And then about 2 years later, one of the realtors I was working with introduced me to the owner of Victoria Abstract. And then right. through him, I got to the owner of Innovation Title, Yara Shamas, who I work for now, and she has a super creative background. She's super talented.
Right.
And I feel like a lot of my experience from all of these other roles kind of culminated in what I'm doing now,
right.
which is super rewarding, and I'm really excited about.
That's really cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's funny how, like, it seems very well planned.
but it wasn't. Thanks so much, but it wasn't.
Right.
But yeah, it worked out full circle.
That's cool.
Full circle.
So what was your quick experience like doing marketing for a real estate office?
It was great. Yeah. And, you know, their office did have some corporate resources, but you were able to brand also very specifically to that office. And the broker had a very strong vision of what she wanted to happen. And right. I was able to help her a little bit and do like a variety of things. But I think that I needed that experience to better relate to the realtors and understand kind of the marketplace mm-hmm. and the industry trends
right.
and get hooked up with some national sales trainers who gave such wonderful insight. So I was better able to relate my experience and all of these things to the realtors and be more valuable to them
right.
and have a better appreciation for title once I got licensed for being a producer for that. So again, a really nice culmination of all of that coming together
right.
so I can help service our clients now at Innovation Title with a little more understanding and empathy for exactly where they're trying to position themselves.
Right. Yeah, because a lot of people sort of casually hear about title, mm-hmm. maybe don't know really what it is, but it's important if you can have that little bit of teamwork where a title company's working together with an attorney and a realtor and, you know, kind yeah. of come at it from all sides for a client.
Yeah, that's a good synergy cool. there. Yeah. It's a lot easier.
All right, so you landed Innovation Title. Tell me about Innovation Title, how they stand out from other title companies, that kind of stuff.
Yeah, well, aside from having a really solid back office and able to provide our clients with exactly what they need and the type of security that they're looking for in a timely basis and have everything come together at the closing table and thereafter, what I think makes us unique is kind of the value that we bring to our clients. And by that, I mean more of the realtors and the attorneys that we work with. Mm-hmm. And we try and do like a three-pronged approach, try and provide brainstorming and branding and education. And when we brainstorm with our clients, we try and work on concepts and strategic marketing ideas that'll help them kind of generate more business and help them stand out. Because, you know, like New York, New Jersey real estate market, super saturated.
Right.
And if you don't stand out by way of branding, it's kind of hard to stay in front of the pack. And because Yara is coming from a creative standpoint, I'm coming from a creative standpoint, we try and be really dialed in. We're able to kind of like generate these series of branded marketing campaigns for some of the realtors that were that are really looking for that addition to what they have going on.
So I think that is interesting that you end up pairing up with Yara because, you know, title, just the word for some reason sort of gives me this image of like dusty books at the county clerk's office of like old moldy deeds and, you know, like it sounds like behind the times. It doesn't sound like something you market. It has all these weird, you know, it's like, it's almost like a medicine. Like it doesn't taste good, but you know, you need it. Right?
It's true. It is necessary.
So it's cool that you find the one person that has a creative background, or maybe not the one person, but a person that has a creative background and also somehow ended up in the title business. Right. So, you know, when I happened to meet you, it's interesting because like, I also have like an entertainment background. So like, and the legal industry is like stodgy, outdated, blah, blah, blah. And I come at it from a totally different background as well, you know? So that's kind of interesting that you're both able to pair this sort of modern approach to an old industry.
Is
that challenging to come up with?
Well, we find it really exciting because we can leverage our backgrounds where, you know, sometimes previously in some of her previous roles and mine, you kind of feel stymied that you could only use a little bit of your background and whatever you have in front of us. Mm-hmm. And now we can kind of reach back and we work with a lot of videographers and photographers and graphic designers, and we can kind of leverage all of their experience to try and introduce them to certain clients of ours and make really solid marriages, because we've known a lot of these vendors for a really long time, and we've known our clients. We could really try and solidify those long-lasting relationships between them, and we find it super exciting that we could provide these branding services that will have a longer shelf life and become evergreen. And sometimes it's a little more valuable, we feel, than maybe just a quick meeting during a happy hour, which is like another approach that some of our competitors take, which is fine for them. But we feel like sometimes we add value by providing these relationships or like the really solid branding strategies instead.
Yep. I happened to meet Yara recently at a networking event at an office opening, mortgage company in Freehold. And she said the same thing, like that she's not interested in just dumping some money on a happy hour so a bunch of people can hang out and drink. And like, I've had the same experience, like, because people ask you to sponsor those kind of things all the time, right?
Yeah.
And I always feel like there's never any value because you meet a handful of people. Everyone's there to get free drinks and food or whatever. Doesn't really care about necessarily networking or anything like that. And a lot of times you do feel like nothing comes out of it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to have that sort of idea from the outset of doing something different. I think it's cool.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. I guess it's working.
Sweet.
Our approach is working.
Will we ever see a title company advertised during the Super Bowl?
I don't know. Is that compliant?
Is that possible?
I don't know if that's in regulation. Yara knows them all by heart. I'll get back to you.
That's right. I mean, that would be your challenge, like come up with a compelling Super Bowl ad about title. I think that's interesting.
Yeah.
All right. So title, like we said, it's a necessary evil. Even if people don't want to know about it, the people working with them in their transaction obviously are going to involve a title company. So just quickly, maybe give people an idea of what is title, you know, what is it you're selling? What's this crazy thing you're selling? And then we can talk about more about what's unique about title in New Jersey in particular.
Yeah, title insurance helps clear to make sure that you really own what you're about to own and that no one else stakes a claim. And if there is one, just that comes out in judgments and other liens. And we find that all up front, make sure that you understand what you're buying and you understand what you're insuring. So you can go into the transaction with knowledge and a clear head.
Right.
And in Jersey, it's really important, I would say, to make sure that you are sure about your title insurance, because, you know, we were really affected, say, even by Hurricane Sandy way back. And, you know, we lost a lot of shorelines and there's a lot of damaged properties and things changed and like lands changed. And, you know, the state of New Jersey holds title to a lot of the lands now are formerly flowed by like tidal water. So you have to know what you own and what kind of the state owns instead.
So Tidelands is one search that would that could be conducted when you're doing a title search.
Yeah.
Tideland search in Jersey.
Yeah.
I've encountered that a couple times as well, and it's oddly enough probably more important when you least expect it, right? So it's basically like any area that at one time flowed with waters, right?
Yeah,
that the state would lay a claim in. And I guess what could happen is at some point the state could have sold off the interest, right, to the landowner.
Yeah.
Or there could be like an ongoing sort of lease rental arrangement, right?
Right, right. Yeah. Or the water could have been there at one point, but it got filled in like 100 years ago.
Right.
But it's still claimed as Tidelands water. And you wouldn't know because, you know, like New Creek in like Newark was flowed by water like 100 years ago. It's all cement. Not there now.
Right.
But you have to get a survey done and you need to run a Tideland search to see what was there and what's yours and what's not.
Right. So that's the best example, like, because the easy one is
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Like, a lot of times what I'll do is, like, it's weird. You're probably in the same case, in the same scenario as me. I always find the attorneys at a disadvantage with a lot of things because most of the time they're the only person that's never been in the house, right?
Yeah.
So you kind of got to do like a little Sherlock Holmes work in the beginning, like, all right, let's look at the listing. Let's look at a, like Google Map real quick, you know, to figure out what you're dealing with. Because you ask your client, like, all right, anything weird about this or unique about this property? Oh, no, nothing, you know? And then it's like, you know, oh, there's a pool, there's solar panels, there's this, you know, you find a million things that, because to them it's not important, right?
Right.
Same thing with like title, like you're investigating the kind of backstory of a property and figuring out what's going on.
Absolutely.
Right? So that's why you need the experts, like the Newark one. Oh, so what I was saying is like, so I'll do a quick like Google Map thing, like, oh, okay, this is right by this semi-dry creek. So you immediately think, oh, maybe there is some kind of tidelands thing because this thing was probably a bigger body of water at some point, all of those things, right? But the Newark one, that doesn't come out in that kind of search. So that's why it's like good to have experts on your team that know these things, right?
Absolutely. And just know where to look and what to look into. And that's why we lean on our back office and we trust them implicitly because they're so diligent and they dig so far down and they do a lot of the extra work.
Right. I mean, that's another part of my experience with title companies is like interesting is you think it's like as an insurance policy, right?
Yeah.
But really, it's a whole nother team that you're employing to get you through closing, right?
Oh, yeah.
So you have the people in the back office that are doing like the searches. And the biggest thing, like for any home buyer, what you want to know and really the real importance is, like you said, you want to know what you're buying, right? You want any problems to be discovered. Mm-hmm. And the reason why you want to discover them now is because they're the current owner's problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you want them to fix those problems before you buy the house.
Yeah.
So that's the importance of...
It's huge.
Right.
That's huge. That's a huge part of it.
And then obviously like a whole nother part of title is like the actual settlement of getting you to closing and...
Yeah, there's so many levels, so many different things happening behind the scenes mm-hmm. that sometimes, you know, buyer and seller might not be aware of until they're in it.
Right. All right. So talking about water and waterfront properties, those kind of things, a property, if you live, obviously New Jersey has a lot of beach houses.
Yeah.
What are some unique concerns with buying those types of properties?
Well, if your property is kind of near a beach mm-hmm. Or by the shore, the New Jersey Supreme Court has upheld like the public's right to beach access.
Right.
You know, we would. I don't think any of us live in here if we couldn't get on the beaches. So the exceptions will appear on the title, and we get written permission from the state. We pay a fee in order for our client to use the public lands over there. And some titles might be sold, like you were saying, in the form of a riparian grant, or other might be under a titles license or a lease. But, you know, all the money from that stuff does go to the Trust Fund for State Education. So that's a positive thing. But, there, you know, there's some counties out there that, you know, really they just don't have any Tidelands presence. So if anyone's looking to buy in Hunterdon or Morris or Sussex or Warren, they don't have to worry about that stuff.
That's cool.
So one less.
I'm sure they have their own set of unique challenges.
Oh, yeah.
Like not waterfront. So then are there towns that have more issues than others?
Oh, yeah, like Bricktown in Ocean County, right down here. Everyone in Bricktown should definitely get a survey. Bricktown overall is really exceptionally interesting because our lead processor, Janet Sparno, who you've worked with, who's fantastic, shared with me that it's so common to have sheds on other people's properties in Bricktown. Like, that's a thing.
Right.
I didn't know that's a thing. I live in Mattawan. That's not really a thing by there. But in Bricktown, apparently it happens all the time. And she once processed three different Bricktown files. All three in a row had sheds on other people's properties.
That's really interesting.
So you really have to make sure you get surveys over there to know what's yours.
Right. So why, do you have any idea why that is? Is it just there was poor property line maintenance at some point?
Yeah, or then if someone doesn't get a survey and they build a fence and then the other one builds a fence next to it and next to it and they didn't get it, then suddenly you get the surveys and you're like, hey, wait a minute. Right. So
you're all over one lot.
Yeah. Yeah, we've got to back it up. That gets hairy. That gets really hard. So it's great to do this up front so you don't get into those scenarios where suddenly, you know, your backyard is postage stamp.
Yeah, totally. I thought it was like a Bricktown, like good neighbor sort of program down there, you know, like host your neighbor's shed, like some kind of routine. But I had that before. Those, like the survey thing, and like you're saying, the importance of making sure like what's on a property, you know, belongs to that property and not your neighbors, all that stuff. I had a guy, and like, I mean, I feel horrible for him, but I warned against this. There were three or four properties in a row that all had shared driveways between them. At the time the houses were built, it was all family members owning the house.
Oh, nice.
So easy, right? Yeah. Same thing in the back. Because of these shared driveways, one garage was like on the neighbor's house, one garage was on the other neighbor's house. Mm-hmm. But they were all family members. No one cared. They probably, you know, stored stuff and, you know, my brother's garage is your garage is my garage, you know, all that stuff. But what happens is as the family members start moving out, now you've got all these strangers moving into each other and they don't work together like family, right? So first day of, and my client had me on Google Maps. Like, we're talking on the phone and he's like, do me a favor, just pull up Google Maps and like look at the aerial on this one, right? So he's describing to me, he's like, you see how there's like shared driveways? He's like, I'm going to put a horseshoe in my backyard to connect both shared driveways. So I'll never have trouble because I'll always be able to just get around and get out.
Yeah.
Even though the house next to him was being sold to someone new and the other one on the other side was coming up for sale. So all the family members were basically like leaving town.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that sounds great. And he's asking me if there are any problems. So I'm trying to explain to him. I'm like, as the most basic starting point, just think about, you and I have been talking, and this is all during attorney review, we're talking about this stuff because we already knew it was problems with the shared driveways and stuff. I'm like, think about, we've been talking about this for like days and you're showing me aerial maps and all these things. You're going to wipe out, like in the future when you're going to sell the property, like probably 80-90% of your prospective buyers aren't going to have the patience that you have to think about all these things and horseshoes and this and that and the other, you know. So as a very starting point, that's a problem. Needless to say, day one of moving into the house, the car in the neighbor's house is parked in the driveway, the supposedly shared driveway that's not for parking. It's just for both to access their garages, right?
Right.
A couple quick conversations, a couple days into living in the new house, comes home to the neighbor on the front porch saying, if you pull in that driveway, I'm going to kick your ass.
Oh, my God. That escalated so quickly.
Very quickly. So like a week into the property into owning your dream home and you got your neighbor saying you're going to kick your ass.
Yeah.
So I did what any good lawyer would do and I asked him if he thought he could take him. You know? So unfortunately, he didn't think he could and they ended up in court. But yeah, so that's the importance of figuring out those things during like the search, like the shed on the wrong property because it could quickly escalate.
Yeah.
I mean, dude, there's extreme examples of, like, there was a family that, you know, shot each other in Texas over kind of similar things. Yeah. You know what I mean? So it's like, it's
crazy.
Kind of funny, but it's crazy. So you want it to be the current owner's problem, basically.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Oh,
so you identify those kind of things.
We do. So there won't have to be any throwers of punches, you know, day three in the new property.
That's pretty interesting.
Yeah.
All right. We talked a little bit about flipping properties. You and I have talked about it, like, sort of off the air. We were actually just talking about it with our last guest, Jim from the Nerds, which obviously, if anything, there's going to be more flipping property than less. It's just a growing trend.
Oh, yeah.
So what should, and oddly enough, I think a lot of flippers now are inexperienced. They're not necessarily like homeowners or home buyers. It's like people almost getting into real estate for the first time. So what should they know about title and pitfalls and things like that?
Well, they have to have an appreciation for getting upfront surveys done if they're looking at different properties. And they should know that obviously down the shore, you have to probably get a title and survey and any other surveys done upfront, because if they think that there might be a riparian claim just from, like, thinking about by the water, maybe not by the water, they should just get it done up front, because many times these surveys, like especially like a tideland survey, $720 up front could save them thousands in like government fees and penalties later. Mm-hmm. Because I know that they feel that, you know, flipping is so exciting, they want to just jump in, and they see it on TV, and these shows don't show obviously everything in the back end and what they have to do to prepare. Oh, I'll just go to the sheriff's sale and I'll just make a purchase, no big deal.
Right.
They have a search. You have to really do your own searches, because that upfront cash could really save you a lot of headaches afterwards.
Right.
So I would just say, you know, have a title contact and make sure you run these searches upfront.
Right.
And then they'll kind of stick with you through the transaction and just get us involved as soon as possible.
Right.
Because sometimes we could turn around and search in one day. Sometimes it's a 3-day search for some of the deeper searches that they need to get done. So just giving even a week, you know, hey, I'm going to go to the sheriff's sale in about a week.
Right.
Just tagging us in as soon as possible, let us know so that you can really go over and do your due diligence. You'll just end up having more success and less surprises.
Right. So someone could reach out to you and say, hey, here's a couple properties I'm looking at.
Yeah.
Next week at sheriff's sale.
Yeah.
Can you take a peek at them for me?
Yeah. And we're happy to do that with clients, because we know that we can provide that upfront service. And then if we do a good job, hopefully they'll continue to work with us. And that's how we kind of earn business. And we want to be kind of a partner with them throughout their transaction. And we're happy to have them lean on us.
Right. So it's funny, is like, title and legal are definitely not the sexy side of flipping houses.
No.
Right? Like, they don't spend a lot of time on the TV shows about that. You know, it's more like, we're going in with a sledgehammer and I made $200,000 in 6 weeks.
And look at these gorgeous cabinets.
That's right. Totally. So I find that everyone's, one of the big shortcut areas is they want to skimp on legal, right?
Yep.
I've never seen a lawyer in any of these transactions on TV. So why do I need one, right? So everyone's always like trying to cut that. And same thing with title, because there's a lot of, particularly with bank-owned properties, like the big pitch is like, you know, oh, we'll give you your owner policy for free if you use our existing title. So it's, everyone's looking for like a place to save a dollar.
Right.
But they choose the wrong places to
save
a dollar. They
do. It's going to spite them in the end. There are differences. There are a lot of differences they should be aware of. And, you know, because our lead processors are so informed and they have so much experience, they can educate you guys over the phone, over email, and they'll tell them what to be wary of. And having those upfront conversations will hopefully make them more informed during the sale and wanted, you know, to see if it's really worth their while. And if not, maybe the next one.
Right.
So it's so important to have those upfront dialogues, even just to, you know, we'll help educate them in the process. We don't want to be their sole source of education, but, you know, we'll help them out.
But you're right. It's actually a very good point is, and I tell people this all the time about the legal end, but the title end, basically you have a lot of people providing a service for you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Lawyers in real estate is like the best deal in the legal business, right? Because you're getting someone that will talk to you unlimited amount of time. You're not paying hourly. You're paying what I think is a very low flat rate for a transaction.
Yeah.
take advantage of that and talk to those people. Same thing with the title company. I actually called Janet recently on a deal we're not working on, but it was a title company for, I represented the seller. So it was the buyer's title company.
Right.
Telling me something I've never heard of in my life. I'm like, this is insane. And I couldn't get, so I'm like, you know what? Janet knows what she's doing. Let me call Janet and say, hey, I got this weird situation. Like, what do you think of this?
Right.
And she had a good answer for me. She's like, yeah, those people are nuts. You're right.
Yeah.
But
she'll tell you. And she was happy to, I'm sure, I have that conversation with you.
Right.
And didn't matter if it was her deal or not. She'll be happy to answer any of those questions.
Right.
So you just know that you could lean on her, because we do all day long. Janet! Screaming her name all day long.
So that's a good point for potential flippers out there, is definitely take advantage of, like, everyone in the title company. Like, they're not just providing you with a policy, and, you know, they're all sort of working for you and at your disposal during the process.
Yeah. That's right.
So it's a good benefit to have.
Yeah.
So since you've gotten into title, has it been everything you hoped and dreamed of?
And more.
And more. I mean, what's the experience been like? Do you enjoy it?
I do. Yeah. I do. I just feel like that I have a little more to offer, and I just find the industry really exciting, especially now with this whole new flipping movement. And I really like everyone that I've been kind of working with, because I think they have the right mindset that we kind of just, like, production team sport, and yet really have to work together to get everyone to the closing table and make sure everyone's happy. And, you know, people are walking away. Sometimes it's, for some people that are not flipping, this is like the most important transaction of their life, or the biggest one. And we definitely have an appreciation just to stand back and look at it from kind of like a client perspective.
Right.
And, you know, a lot of us, we all live locally in Jersey, and, you know, we just, you know, a lot of these people become our neighbors.
Right.
And we do a lot of business with people that we know. So it's been great. And Yara is an outstanding, really innovative leader, and I love working with her, and I think she has a great business mindset, and our clients are obsessed with her, and it makes the days go by really quickly, and I just really like being able to work with her and meeting people like you.
Right.
And it's been a pleasure working with you so far. So, and we've met a lot of fun people together, and we work with a lot of great realtors and mortgage reps, and it's been good. It's been really good.
Yep. Yeah, it's an interesting business for sure, and I think bringing that, like, different approach to it is a nice touch as well. So Yara, did you meet her? Did you know her before Innovation Title, or did you meet her
I met her through the other contact, but I've heard of her. I knew of her work. There was always murmurings. She was always, like, in the shadows, like, oh, who did that? Oh, Yara Shams did that for me. But it was just, you know, I never met her in person, but I kind of knew of her. So I was very excited to have the intro parlayed. That was good.
Yeah, I'm a little bummed. Recently, I saw Tony Robbins at NJ Wealth Expo, and I was, like, blown away. It was phenomenal. And I'm, like, scrolling through Instagram one day, and I see Yara with Tony Robbins. I'm like, dude, what the,
you know? No, she gets the hookup. She knows people. She knows people.
That was pretty sweet.
Yeah, no, they took a picture together.
Right.
We've plastered it all over our office. Not a big deal. I'm making it into wallpaper next week.
But nice.
Don't tell.
That's cool. So what do you do when you're not burning it at both ends of the candle, talking title all day long, and raising a daughter.
And raising a daughter. Well, you know, I have a YouTube channel with my daughter. We bake and cook on it. It's really cute.
Oh, do you really?
She does crafts and things. Yeah, Carried Away.
Carried Away.
It's Carried Away, because her name is Carrie.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like
She's super cute. And I'm trying to get her interested in photography.
Oh, that's cool.
And, We spend a lot of time doing that stuff together. So it's good. It's good. She's super fun.
What does she like to cook or bake?
Cookies, brownies. Yeah. She'll make chicken with me. She'll make lasagna. She'll make meatballs. She'll anything and everything. She just really enjoys the process. And she's a little ham, so she likes when it's recorded. She'll put on like a crazy princess outfit and be like, I'm ready. You look nuts, but yeah, let's do it.
Right.
And then she likes writing out her little cue cards, and she comes up with stuff. But everything's a barter deal. Mommy, if I do this, then you're going to take me here. So, no, but she really likes it. And I try to teach her how to, like, use some of the cutting editing programs.
Right.
And, you know, she's interested. All of these kids now, with, you know, they're on Instagram, she does Snapchat. Oh, mommy, look at my Snapchat. What? Slow your roll, girlfriend. You're seven.
Right.
Let's not do stand-up chat right now, but, you know, who am I?
Right. It's insane.
Yeah.
Does she like the kids' cooking shows, like on the Food Network?
Oh, yeah.
So my kids love obsessed. That stuff. Yeah. And I was blown away, like, what these kids could cook. Like, it was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, they have mad chops. Like,
yeah. But, using those huge serrated knives, like...
Yeah.
It makes me a little nervous, and I don't let her do the stove in the oven by herself, but she's more of like ingredient mixing. she does, like sous chef work, but, she's not like hovering over the fire.
Right. That's cool.
Yeah.
I'll pre-cut and then you come in.
Right. Or we do it together, hand over hand. We do a lot of hand over hand stuff, but I have to be like a hawk.
Yeah.
Because, it might be like an accidental hair flip and then we have an incident on our hands.
Totally.
So.
Does she ever say, "Mom, can we play title officer today?"
I'm waiting for that.
Hasn't happened yet.
Maybe next week.
That's cool. That's awesome. That's cool.
But she does, she's helped out a little bit. She stuffs envelopes at the office.
Does she?
A little bit. She's paid in Hershey Kisses. I think that's okay.
That's a good deal.
Yeah.
You got to put the kids to work these days.
Yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. All right, Marissa, I appreciate you coming in.
Thank you so much.
It was a pleasure
much.
Talking some title with you. I think we definitely have a whole nother conversation about some investing activities, because that's like a whole other can of worms, like we just briefly touched on. I would definitely recommend people, obviously, research title. Meet title people like Marissa. Find Marissa Goldman at Innovation Title. We're going to tag your website, which is under redesign right now. And so we'll get the address out for people. You have a brand new Instagram account.
We do.
Do you want me to shout it out, or are you like keeping it under wraps right now?
Well, we're going to we'll tag everything.
All right, cool. So we'll tag all those things. Reach out to Innovation Title. Find Marissa Goldman online as well. Look for Carried Away on YouTube.
Thanks.
Expect big things from that one.
Yeah.
With your production background, it should really take off. That's awesome. I'm Evan Balmer. Follow me on Instagram @EvanBalmer and look for the Mullet Cast on Facebook. Thanks, Marissa.
Thank you.